He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I am Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily, joined by Aaron Larsoul of All Access Lakers, of all over the place, places you wouldn't even think of, too. Like, just like really, really cool stuff that he does all over the place, and is always kind enough to grace us with his presence and his intel and all of these things. And he poured a nice...
Yeah, I'm going to need it today.
Sifter of...
I have a feeling I'm going to need it today. Either this is going to be like an 8-minute show, or I'm going to need a lot of unnamed cognac.
I don't know. We'll probably split the difference.
Somewhere in between. Okay, yeah. A little from column A, a little from column B.
You poured the unnamed cognac, so you may as well... Like, we may as well use said unnamed cognac.
I mean, I do have a guest here that I have to get back to. But yes, continue. Let's get it.
Oh, who's this guest? Do they want to come on the show? Avery came on the show yesterday.
I saw that. I saw that on Twitter. And you know what my first thought of was? Well, I was going to say, I don't know how you have a child that is that adorable, but I have met your wife, so that is clearly the answer. But what I really thought was, whatever screenshot that was or video capture that it was, that your camera is incredible. And I always think that my camera is always awful. So maybe I have to upgrade my setup. That was the first thing I thought, other than how adorable your daughter is.
It's so Apple came out with their desktop, with their Mac, that had the HD camera for the first time, 1080p camera. And I bought that. Now, it was poor timing because I bought it and then COVID happened and I stopped having as much work to do.
So that's just you just use it. That's a built-in camera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I got a whole webcam set up. And
I actually bought a webcam because they said that, you know, like for local recordings, at least you could do 4K, but most streaming services don't offer uploading. 4K.
Yeah, and but uploading that has got to be the file size on that. Look at this. I'm filibustering. See, we've taken the show from 8 minutes to 10 minutes with me filibustering about technology and streaming streaming technology. Yeah.
Yeah, I showed Avery the episode or the portion of the episode that she was on the TV, on the big TV that we have in our living room.
Oh, in the foyer.
And she was so happy. She was so over the moon.
Oh, she likes seeing herself on TV. Does she like hearing herself too?
Yeah, she actually hosts.
She's vain like me. I like this.
She hosts like YouTube stuff without having a YouTube channel. Like she helps Jen cook and she'll be like, and today we're cutting vegetables. Here's how I cut this vegetable. And then she'll cut it and it's totally adorable. It's totally terrifying because I know the impact this industry has had on my health and my well-being. So the other option here is like, if she's going to follow in mommy or daddy's footsteps, the other option is to go into medicine, which has somehow been more frustrating and soul breaking to
you.
To,
ready? You ready for Avery the influencer?
Yeah, I think if I had a choice, there's not as much student loan debt in influencer.
Yeah.
So she's going to be a Nepo baby. She's going to take over this stuff one day.
Oh, there you go.
Uh-huh.
Does she watch games?
It would be the most ironic thing for me to like whine about the bus kids for as long as I have, and then hand over this to my own child. And then it'd be even funnier if she ruins everything if they ruin everything, it would be exactly what I get. But not,
does she watch games with you?
Does she watch? Well, occasionally.
Does she care?
She does. She does. Right, I tell her which she asks when I put on the show, when I put on a game, she'll ask which team are we rooting for? And I'll say, you know, the white team, the gold team, the purple team.
I don't know why we're in like
very rare
this,
cases, the black team or teaching the blue team, right? If it's a Dodgers game. And like she doesn't really understand what's going on with the game, but when I react, she reacts with me,
you know? So,
okay.
Maybe she'll try to only react positively when I'm watching with her, right? Because that, like, if all she sees is me screaming at the TV, Darvin, stop playing four guards. Yeah. And she's not going to be interested. But no, so far so good. She's really enjoyed it. And then Miles is like a hooper. Like, he just can't stop playing with his little Tykes basket. So yeah,
I think we're giving the people what they want, except for that one person that always mentioned that you, when you would mention your children, I think we're giving the people what we don't need to talk about anything else. We'll talk about Avery taking over the Irwin content empire.
Anthony Irwin Productions, LLC.
Yeah, there we go. Do we have to talk about anything
else?
And
then, I think I'm going to rename it someday to Cali Bear, but we'll see. But like, we're filibustering right now.
No,
because we're still waiting. No, we.
Oh, all right.
Because look,
you're with me.
What am I going to do? All right, audience, live audience.
Yes.
For those of you who are here, and there's already a decent amount of people already here.
I wonder if people think that because this happened at the time that it did, that it's an emergency episode and they missed a Twitter notification and are jumping on to hear news that hasn't happened yet.
Like, this is when we normally go, right? Like noon
around it. Brian wants to know if there can be, this is a question for you. I'm willing to do this. Brian wants to know if there can be an off season segment where I just react to white people shit. So in the comments on the YouTube comments.
No, we're going to try to, like, this offseason, we're going to try to define what that is, because as it stands right now, I'm pretty sure, like, mm-hmm. 85% sure that white people shit is just stuff that Aaron hasn't seen yet. Like, that's like,
activities that I don't participate in.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's other stuff. It can be shows, movies.
We're gonna get sharks, a formal designation and example list of that. This
bungee
summer,
jumping,
sure.
All that shit. That's why people.
Not seasoning
food.
The number one thing that I'm sure people are watching for right now, mm-hmm. is for some kind of an update on Darvin Ham and the position that he holds in the organization. I asked around yesterday because the Lakers held their exit interviews, and I asked around to see if Darvin was a part of those exit interviews and was mostly told not really. So, like, you could take that for what you want to.
Darvin held his with the players. Post-game five was what it was.
Dual exit interview. In that case, it was like, you know,
sure,
it was the, you know, DAP, and we wish you well. But I saw that Jovan is getting aggregated right now, for saying that he was told that Darvin is going to be fired by the end of the week. I can confirm that as well. The anticipation was actually that it was going to happen today.
You can confirm that he is, or you can confirm that that's what you've heard.
The second one.
You've also heard what Jovan has heard. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, essentially it either is going to happen at some point today, and you'll get some kind of, the leak will happen today, and then you'll get the formal announcement today. And then we'll hear that Rob Pelinka is going to hold a presser tomorrow, right, on a Friday. That's one scenario here that could play out. The other potential scenario, based on the stuff that I've heard to this point, is it'll be a Friday news dump with everybody gets to sit on the information over the weekend, and then Rob will hold a presser the following Monday to, you know, kind of preview the offseason that is to be. I asked around, you know, because I know that some people are kind of wondering, myself included at times, if Rob is the person to conduct another head coaching search. And everything that I've heard to this point is that his job is not in any jeopardy whatsoever. So you can kind of take that for what you will, too. But as far as, like, this actual situation, there is no update. You know, we're all just sitting here waiting. And you know, I think it is an overcorrection to the flack that they got for the way that they fired Frank. That isn't to say that they shouldn't have corrected. I thought that they did Frank kind of dirty, making him answer questions in his own post-game presser about his firing. Not ideal. That said, like Darvin Ham was already talking after the game about his Lakers tenure in the past.
Right, so let me push back a little bit. if you know, I'm having to do the Hoop Collective / low post as to not get aggregated. So they always say if. So if Darvin ends up not being the coach of the Lakers for next season, and if he is, if that happens, whatever, today, tomorrow, or in the next week or whenever, like, what different? I mean, have the Lakers lost anything by it being a couple days or a week different? Like, are they losing out on candidates otherwise, do you think?
Candidates?
Like, what is the downside? The fact that, like, let's say the Lakers are taking their time weighing options, whatever their reasoning is, or let's just say it's your to your assertion or assumption, maybe that it's an overcorrection to the reaction that they got from the timing of Frank. Like, what is being lost here for another day or week is, I guess, would be my pushback.
Week pushes it, I think. Week, like within, like if you're sitting here a week from now, and I think at that point.
Well, like, no, outside of the PR parts of it.
But the PR does kind of matter here, right? Like, I'm putting myself in Darvin's shoes, right? And everybody right now is talking about me as if I've already been fired. That's got to kind of suck, you know? And I think, like, for the Lakers, they have to figure out a way to do this better, right? Like, and I know that, like, I know, again, like, PR is this really weird, ambiguous value that people make way too much money off of. But the reason that they make a lot of money off of it is because when it's done well, it is legitimately really valuable, right? And, you know, part of the reason that they're doing this is for future candidates and with the coaches union. And the fraternity that is, you know, current and former head coaches.
So if and I think there's merit to what you were saying, that last part, I think there's merit to that. So if that is the case, then maybe that overcorrection or assumed overcorrection to what you asserted earlier.
Yeah,
the potential overcorrection and delaying this a little bit. Maybe that's a positive thing, right? Maybe it's like you want to appear as though you're really weighing all the options and not making a rash decision. And to the stakeholders, outside stakeholders, to your point, the other, you know, the coaches association, the players association, you know, the agents, coaches, agents, you know, maybe this is an attempt to try to mend some of those fences from the Frank situation.
Yeah, I think a correction was in order. I have no problem with a correction. Overcorrection makes it, you know, it takes that into the territory where it's like a little too much, right? And again,
if something material is lost, then I would agree with you. Yes.
Yeah, and I don't think something material is going to be lost. It's very early in this thing. There are still a ton of coaches that I'm actually surprised there weren't more coaches fired this year.
Well, we also don't know what the candidate pool is going to look like because the playoffs have some, you know, obviously have some impact on this, as we've seen from
one candidate in particular.
Well, I mean, we can just go back, you know, like. Somebody who doesn't have a job right now is Mike Budenholzer. The reason he doesn't have a job right now is because, you know, for a couple of years after winning a title, it didn't go particularly well in the playoffs for Milwaukee. So my point, and you know, Frank is in Phoenix because of the playoff struggles and some of the personality struggles, but Monty had those playoff struggles in Phoenix. So yeah, I don't think that And by the way, that could be if here, I'm doing it again. If the Lakers do decide to move on from Darvin, part of the calculus is who is going to be the next guy. And I do think NBA teams, this is not a Lakers thing specific. I do think NBA teams often are to, and fans even more so than teams, but teams make this mistake too of saying, well, this is not the guy. The follow-up question that they don't ask is then, okay, then whom? And so that list is probably going to change, and some candidates may come off the board, but there are probably going to be candidates that are added to the board based on whatever happens in these playoffs. So I do, that's the timing of it is all an interesting. And I will say this, if again, here, I'm not going to do it again, but if the Lakers do decide to move on from Darvin Ham, the Lakers job is obviously very desirable. So the Lakers should have a pretty good ability to attract, you know, whatever their top choice candidates are. You know, assuming LeBron is back, you know, the getting to coach LeBron and AD is going to be appealing for a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't think that like their treatment of Vogel or even Ham would detract from the opportunity that would be coaching LeBron and AD in the spot. And also, like, look, I think whoever they hire, there's going to be an amount of patience, you know, to like, they're going to have the first crack at coaching the Lakers after LeBron, right? And getting the opportunity to kind of lead them into that next chapter. But so like, I don't know, for me, it's just, I understand some of the correction. I understand, you know, the way that they handle some of their stuff. And I understand that this is still a learning process for an organization that is still relatively new in the positions that they hold, right? Like, the most experienced person, is you know, in their positions is probably Kurt Rambis, right? Like in terms of like time around the sport. You know, you obviously have somebody like Bill Burka who has been in the sport for, you know, decades and decades and decades and stuff. But in terms of like the people who,
I mean, Jeannie's been around, that's like the distinction between current role. Like, Jeannie is quite accomplished and has been around basketball and the Lakers in various capacities for quite a while.
Yeah, I think, well, no, what I mean, like, because she will be the person, like one of the first people to tell you that she kind of stays out of the basketball aspect of this, right? She employs and empowers her basketball people.
Yes.
And that's how she's always done this, right? She's always been more focused on the business than the basketball. Well,
that is a lesson of her from her father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find the best people you can and then get out of their way, basically.
Yeah. And so like in that regard, right? Like if she has always been kind of, she's always backed off, right? And she's experienced in her own way by being around her dad and, you know, Jerry West and Mitch Kupchak and so on and so forth. But like still it's still a team that you really get the feel that they are learning on the fly, right? And you know, when you go from, you know, firing or handling Luke Walton even as their first example of like firing a head coach, right? Where Magic quits and he says that the reason he quit when he did was A, because he wanted to tweet a bunch more. And there's all kinds of other reasons that you know are lesser known or whatever, but like you know, he said he knew that he had to quit once he wasn't allowed to fire Luke Walton. And then Luke Walton gets fired anyway, you know? And
yeah, you and I have this conversation, not this specific conversation. Sorry to interrupt you. You and I have this, not this specific conversation a lot about this instance, but the conception behind it, which is I am always telling you that you feel like the Lakers are unique in certain ways, and I'm telling you they're not. And your pushback is I don't give a shit because like I care about the Lakers. But to put this in context, like we'll use the Lakers draft as an example, right? This last draft or any draft, but we'll use this as an example because as it stands now, it does not appear to have gone well for the Lakers. As it stands now, those things can change. There were people that were all in on JHS and there were people that were less so. And there were people that were out and these kind of, right. Like for any decision that gets made by a front office is made up and front offices are made up of a certain X number of people. Some it's, three people that have real power and there's eight people involved and 20 people on the outside. Sometimes there's one person that has the power and there's eight people in the inner circle, whatever the numbers are, there's going to be disagreement on all this. So the fact that Magic wanted to, or claims he wanted to get rid of Luke and there were some dissenting voices, like that is not an uncommon thing. That's how these things work. You don't care because you're a Lakers fan and you're only right. Like my point is the Lakers are not some outlier in the fact that there is not like consensus in these kind of decisions.
I mean, they'd be completely screwed if they were the only team that had disagreement or they would be like, they would be in a really good position because there would be more honesty in organizations that there is debate internally on all of this stuff, right? Like Jen and I have been together for 20 years, almost literally.
Oh God.
And I can
you and recall, I have chosen different paths in life, brother.
I can recall over the course of our relationship, how many friends have been in different relationships and new relationships and relationships end and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, that especially as we've been together longer, that people will kind of ask us, on how did you make it work? The number one reason, the number one way that you can make this work is completely outkick your coverage. That's it. But like, first though, in actuality, you need conflict. Conflict is a big part of this, and you need to understand how to handle that conflict, how to disagree and come to some kind of understanding. Whether it's a compromise or one person winds up being right.
This is how the Lakers front office is like Anthony's marriage on Lakers
Lounge. Well, no, like I think there is nothing that, Jen and I will meet, relationships or girlfriends or boyfriends or significant others that like people bring, people we care about will go on a double date or we would go on double dates and stuff like that back when that was still more of a thing. Now we live in a neighborhood where everybody's married and has kids. So like, you don't worry about that as much, but when dating was more of a thing and like the people that, if we went out with a couple and they've been together for a few months and they'll say like, oh man, we finish each other's sentences. We never, ever disagree about anything. We are everything is just amazing. We never, ever, ever, ever fight. And I'm like, oh, so you're lying all the time. Huh. Like one of you is always lying. Like,
you say what now?
like what you're telling me is that like one of you is holding a bunch back for the sake of not, having that conflict and having to deal with that conflict. And so I, when you say that there is, like with Jalen Hutchafina was the example that you used and how
Luke Walton.
Yeah, or Luke Walton or whatever, how there is dissent or there is, disagreement on something like that. Like, of course there is. There are too many people involved for everybody to just get there. And if there wasn't any conflict there, then somebody would be lying.
It's not that there's never consensus. It's just that there's rarely consensus. It's not never. It's just not often.
Yeah. And so anyway, on this one, without going into too much detail here, because, Frank, I don't want to like overexpose myself or anybody here, but there is, from what I've been able to tell, relative consensus here, pretty damn close to consensus that, most
people. It's not that there is never consensus, it's that there is rarely consensus.
But like, I think most people involved with the decision that has to be made on whether to keep or fire Darvin Ham, based on, you know, my reading of the situation, that everybody kind of understands it's time to move on, you know, and it's just a matter of if versus when. And it's not a matter of if, it's more a matter of when. And we'll see when that happens, right? The two scenarios that I've found to be more likely than others is either A, it happens sometime today and we get a press conference from Rob tomorrow, or B, it happens tomorrow and Rob takes a presser on Monday when they've had more time to kind of wrap their heads around where they're going to go next, and when there's a more complete picture of what their options might be. By the time that we get to Monday, the first round will have been complete for everybody. And
yeah,
right. So,
yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yep. And so like that, you know, that gives you a little bit more understanding and ammunition for what you look and ready. Cause I feel like it's pretty rare that coaches get fired after being in the second round of a playoffs. You know, you win a series, and generally speaking, you tend to get another crack at it the following year.
Making the conference semis. I mean, it happens occasionally where that's not good enough. But yes, I think
like I'm looking at the teams who are likely going to be in the second round of the playoffs next year, and there isn't a coach that, like, if they lose in the second round of the playoffs, that they are going to be fired.
Right? You don't think Michael Malone's out if the Nuggets lose to Minnesota? You don't think just Michael Malone's just hit the bricks, buddy?
If he was a Lakers coach, there'd probably be...
No, you don't think just hit the bricks?
I would probably have already recorded a podcast. Like, are we sure about Mike?
Mark Dagnold, who just led the youngest team in the history of ever to win a playoff series and was the coach of the year, and they were the one seed. So no, you don't. If OKC,
look, if OKC is dumb enough to do it,
the Clips and
swoop
and
on Mavs in winner,
no, you don't think Mark's out?
He would immediately become like super duper rich, right?
Wait, say that again.
Like if the Thunder somehow, for whatever dumb reason, fired Mark Dagnall without like something,
I would say he would be very popular on the market if that were to happen.
He would be very, very rich.
I would say he'd be the LinkedIn head coach. Do you know about this?
No.
When he was hired by the Thunder, people went to go search for him, right? And he didn't have a Wikipedia page. But what he had was they found his LinkedIn because, you know, if you search for the name, he literally, when he got hired by the Thunder, didn't have a Wikipedia yet. That's how unknown he was. And by the way, good on the Thunder because they found one. But so when you searched his name, what people found was his LinkedIn page. And it was his resume as a basketball coach. That, by the way, was up to date. Like, he was looking for a coaching job on LinkedIn. So yeah, he's called the LinkedIn coach.
I actually think that there's a do you remember Dave Miller, the guy who used to talk on Spectrum?
I saw him at game 4. Yep, I know Dave. Yep.
Does he have a tie back to the Showtime Lakers? Because he took that picture with the Showtime Lakers. Was he like an assistant on any of those teams?
I'm not sure, but I know he's been in it. I don't know if he's coaching the NBA. He's had a ton of college jobs. And I think he has worked for NBA teams in various capacities, but I don't know that he's never been a head coach of an NBA team. I don't know that he's been an assistant. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. I know he was, I think, Arizona. I know USC. He coached at USC. So, yeah. But yes, I know who he is. I saw him in game 4, actually.
His LinkedIn has all of his coaching stops on it.
Oh, all right. Well, then you can answer that question yourself.
I don't recall. Like, I just saw it on, I saw him on LinkedIn, and I just like really quickly, like, ran. That guy hated me.
Oh,
hated
well, maybe,
me.
Okay.
From my earlier days covering this team. But anyway,
I would say he's polarizing. I would say he's polarizing.
I think he wound up being kind of a scam artist with his coaching. Allegedly.
I don't know that we need to.
But anyway, like I said, that is the situation. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that there is not, like, they could wait until later next week and there's a possibility that they keep the guy. It would be a gigantic upset that would surprise basically everybody, actually literally everybody I have spoken to on this subject. But it could happen, you know, it could happen. But I am still told that the likeliest scenario here is that Darvin Ham will not be back next year as the head coach of the Lakers. And, you know, the Lakers are, you know, for whatever reason that they're coming to, or the whatever reason they're using right now, kind of taking their time on this. And, you know, we'll see what that looks like after this.